Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Sports Geeks Podcast. I'm Alex, here with Pat. What we're going to do is just go through some stories for this week from the world of sports. Normally, in the last few editions of the Sports Geeks, previous to last week, we just went through some NFL games. But now that the season's we're down to 4 games a week, we're going to start dipping into other areas from the sports world. Probably the biggest story for this week in the world of sports would be the hiring of Lane Kiffin at USC. Pete Carroll officially left, I think, or signed a contract with the Seahawks on Sunday or Saturday, I think.
That sounds right,
maybe,
yeah.
I don't know. And then soon after it was announced that Lane Kiffin will be leaving Tennessee after only 1 year there to join the Trojans. So what's your outlook on that? What do you think about him there? What's he going to be successful for?
I personally, I kind of hope he's not, partly because I don't like USC for one, but also I wasn't a real big fan of this move that he did. I know people talk it's business, it's big business, and it is, but at the same time, he had a lot of, you know, he's got students there and young kids who are there because of him and buying into his system and his philosophy. And to just take off like that after a year, I just don't know if I can agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's one of the main issues. And he's, you know, he's always kind of, everywhere he's been, it's kind of, you know, left, it's a little crazy, you know. I mean, he was in Oakland, he got fired and all that stuff with Al Davis, and then comes to Tennessee talking crap about Urban Meyer, and then he just bails on him. I don't know.
Yeah, he liked running his mouth a lot this year. And what did they end up with, 7 or 8 wins?
I think they were 7-6.
Yeah, so, but yeah, he talks all this trash and about building the program up at Tennessee, and it seemed like overnight he became a Tennessee guy, and then overnight, you know, about 6-7 months later, he's now gone, so.
Yeah, and that's the thing, he did have a pretty good recruiting class coming in, I think I saw on ESPN, a bunch of, you know, top 150 guys or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, so that kind of throws a, you know, throws a knot in that, and then they're apparently the, what's his name, Ed Orgeron or whatever, he had he was calling the recruits to tell him not to go to class so that they could transfer to USC, which is that's already going to get him probably in trouble with the NCAA.
Yeah, he's already starting off with some sanctions, so, you know, I guess kind of deserves it if that's what they're doing. He claimed he wouldn't call any players, if they call him, that's fine, he won't call them, and maybe he meant him personally, but
yeah, I think that's
he's not going to dial from his cell.
It's like a little fib, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard one player's dad, and I can't remember his name, when asked about the subject, or actually I think somehow he talked to Kiffin or that other agent guy you were talking about, said something along the lines of, if he would bolt from Tennessee after giving us his word and all this, why should I trust him anymore? And pretty much told the guy, you know, where to stick it, and they're not going to follow him to USC.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. It'll be interesting. Obviously, USC, USC, I think, is probably a better job at this point. He's from that area. He went to college in San Diego or something. So I can see why he would want this job. It's just the timing of it is a little just not good for the Tennessee people who were rioting.
Yeah, yeah. And
that's another thing. That pisses me off. Because I'm as big a sports fan as anybody, and two things I will never do because of sports are cry because my team loses and riot in the streets.
I totally agree. I
don't know what, like, you know, whatever, coach left. There's no reason, like I've never, I can't imagine myself being like, oh no, John Harbaugh leaves or whatever, and I'm like gonna go burn a mattress in the road.
Yeah, you know, I can see maybe like a player who was at that meeting. They talked about some of those players getting pretty upset, and you know, if one of them would have taken a swing at him, you know, not good. But do I care really? No. But for these fans or college students to freak out like that, I mean, the sad part is, you know, there could be a murder in town or something else, and they, you know, wouldn't blink twice, but their football coach leaves, and yeah, like you said, burning mattresses and
yeah,
making signs.
Stupid.
Yeah,
the whole thing is stupid.
Overblown, and I don't know
people
how much
need
of
to
that.
chill out. Like,
I don't know how much of that has to do with, you know, Southern college football, but it doesn't matter. There's no excuse for it. So
yeah.
I mean, he's still a person, and he shouldn't be, you know, beaten or killed for it. So.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
All right. So then, the other big story that's kind of come up in the last few days since our last podcast was Mark McGwire finally admitting that he did steroids back in the. In the 90s, when he was playing, and even during his record, or then record 70 home run season, I think we all kind of expected this. It just seems kind of surprising that he just all of a sudden one day in January decided to have an interview with I think Bob Costas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's who he came. I shouldn't say came out. That sounds wrong.
Yeah.
But admitted that too. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, part of me applauds him for doing so. I mean, he's gave more information and stood up for more, or kind of took responsibility for more than any other player has done. But I wish he would have quit at a certain point, because when he started going into steroids don't help him hit home runs, they were there to keep him on the field, it can't improve hand-eye coordination. You know, that part, he started kind of shifting the blame back or kind of changing focus on why he was hitting home runs. And to say that steroids don't help you hit home runs is just, I don't know, playing ignorant. I don't see how being stronger does not hit a home run. So,
yeah, and that's what people say. You know, I don't know how he can even pretend to argue that
yeah.
it didn't.
Because I heard a good argument that said you can assume every Major League Baseball player, not pitchers maybe, but at least hitters, if they get to the majors, they have good hand-eye coordination. But there's a reason there's guys like Ichiro with good hand-eye coordination hit singles, and there's guys like McGwire with good hand-eye coordination hit home runs. And it really boils down to strength. And steroids increases strength. So I didn't get that. But.
Yeah, so I think he's just trying to do you think it's coincidental that that came out like 2 days after he didn't make it to the Hall of Fame for the, I think, the second year in a row, or however many since he's been eligible?
I never really thought much about that, I guess. That's a good point. I don't know if I don't think he's going to make it now. I think there's going to be enough people who won't vote for him, and I don't know if I would myself. Would you vote for any player who has admitted?
I don't know. That's tough to say. I mean, like, then who, like, if they don't get in, who's going to be in? Because there, I don't know. I think I would, because someone has to get in, right? From this decade.
Right. And I think there were a lot more on it than are ever going to admit. So, you know, it was kind of an era, as sad as that is to say.
Yeah.
But, and was he one of the best of the steroid era? Obviously. So, yeah, I kind of agree.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Everybody, half the other hitters were on it that weren't as good. And we know from Clemens, or, you know, more than likely Clemens, and other pitchers, they were on it too. So, I mean, I think it's hard to separate what was that from what wasn't that, what didn't have to do with the PEDs. I think it'd just be better just to just group it together and assume that it's just another, like you said, another era in baseball.
Right. And I mean, granted, this is illegal and it's much different, but we don't group players by when weightlifting and weight training started getting big.
Yeah.
You know, we don't say, oh, that's an unfair advantage. And granted, I know it's different than drugs, but, you know, generations, there's different things. Obviously, back in the day, Babe Ruth, you know, drank like a fish, and, you know, no, I don't know how many weights he ever lifted, and now that's, you don't have that anymore. So it's a different generation, and steroids, unfortunately, were part of that for a while. So,
yeah. Well, that's I think it won't really have an impact for him beyond this year. I think people in that vote for the Hall of Fame, they've already decided whether or not they're going to vote him in. They all assumed he did steroids, so I just don't see it having a huge impact. The admission, I think, you know, everything's kind of how it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's good for, you know, now that he's working for the Cardinals again, it's good for the team. Get that out of the way. You know, that was going to be huge distraction all year if he didn't say something, and it still will be to some degree. But I'm kind of glad he got that out of the way now, and he can focus on his job as hitting coach. So.
All right, and then we have a few NBA stories we want to hit up real quick, and we haven't really done much NBA talk on the podcast. Last week, we talked about Gilbert Arenas. I'm sure you've all heard of that. Just today, he was charged with felony gun possession for the incident with him and Javaris Crittenton in the locker room at the Verizon Center. I think that's what it's called. But so he's done for the year, probably, for as far as playing basketball goes. Maybe longer than that, depending on how long the legal stuff takes and what his sentence ends up being. What do you think? Do you think he has a future in the NBA still, or is this kind of it, maybe?
I think somebody will give him a shot. I would, you know, they're talking, 5-year sentence, potentially. Players don't get that. I mean, that's not going to happen. So I could see if he were out for a couple years, then that might be the end, because NBA really is a young league, and, you know, sitting out 2 years, you're missing out on a lot. But I think if it's less than a year, I don't know if he'll play next year if jail stretches into there, but I see him back someday. But
yeah, I think you're probably right. And we've seen with the Michael Vick thing, did he miss 2 full seasons or?
Yeah,
three?
I think so.
Just two?
I think two, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're a talented guy, you can come back. Somebody will give you a shot. And, I mean, it's kind of sucks for the Wizards. They may or not be able to avoid that contract that we talked about last week. So, I don't know. It's just an interesting, very interesting story, interesting guy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. So,
and then another big guy that's going to be out for a while, Blake Griffin, number one overall pick this year from the Clippers, out for the year, some knee problems. He got hurt in whatever they call it, spring training. What do they call it in NBA? I don't even know.
Preseason.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he hasn't really actually played in a regular season game. What do you think the impact will be for that, for his career potentially?
Yeah, I hope he bounces back. He seems like, you know, pretty dedicated, you know, workout freak, and just looking at him, you can kind of tell. I'm hoping he bounces back. I think, well, it was pretty funny if you people read or follow Bill Simmons. I mean, he said right away the worst thing that could happen to Blake Griffin was putting on that uniform, and he has this whole theory on the Clippers curse, and he had this before this whole injury, and I'm not one who necessarily believes in curses, but you know, they were looking good. I mean, they were getting close to 500. Baron Davis was playing awesome. They got Eric Gordon. They have a good young team. Chris Kaman was playing really well. And then this kind of really puts a damper on their season.
Yeah, and it's sad to see him go down. You know, another star player going to be out, which kind of hurts the league and the Clippers especially. So
yeah, they didn't have a lot of bright
spots. It was a pretty serious thing. I can't remember what it was. But it sounds like he could be out for, you know, all of this season, definitely, and then maybe stretching into next season, which isn't, it's never good.
No, when they span over 2 seasons like that, kind of like how Yao Ming's thing ended up being.
Oh, yeah, true.
But, yeah, and speaking of, well, Yao Ming, I guess the Houston Rockets, I don't know if you guys are aware, you know, the All-Star voting is going on right now, and I'm trying to find where he's at on the list. Tracy McGrady, who has played, I don't even know if he's played 10 games this whole year, is currently third on the list for guards in the Western Conference All-Star voting. And not to point fingers, but I'm going to point him over to the Far East and ask China to please stop voting just for Houston Rockets, because Yao Ming's on the team.
Yeah.
They said the votes just pour in from over there for anybody on the Rockets. And when Yao Ming makes it, he's perennially, he'll forever be a starter on the All-Star team as long as he's on a roster.
Yeah, so they should establish like a guideline for the All-Star. Like, you have to play, you know, I guess half the season's 40, so you had to play at least 25 games to even, you know, qualify for that.
Right. Yeah, I agree. There are some other players on here that have kind of fallen back on the list, but who are ahead when they hadn't played. And I see Luis Scola, he's a good player for Houston. Is he an All-Star? No. And he's on the top 7 or 8 of forwards for the Western Conference, of course, out of Houston. So
that's Vucic's twin.
It is, yeah. And
I did a post about that a long time ago.
I do not like Vujicic, but that's neither here nor there. Just kind of glancing at the standings, I'll just read off the leaders in each. In the Eastern Conference, the division leaders are Boston, Cleveland, and Orlando. Not really surprising. Western Conference, you got Denver, Lakers, and the Mavericks. Is any team jumping out at you right now, or have you not watched enough to think that?
I haven't really watched enough yet, I don't think. It's still football season, so obviously the Lakers probably have the best roster. You know, just I'm not a fan, but you got to think that they have a pretty good shot just with the players they have with Bynum. I have Bynum, Odom, and Gasol on my fantasy team, so I kind of follow them a little bit. And they've all been playing pretty well for the most part. I guess Gasol's been a little banged up, but if they can keep healthy, I think they're definitely probably the front runner in the West.
Yeah, I agree. Who do you got in the East then, do you think?
It's hard to say. I think really any of those top three could come out of the East. I don't really like Orlando anymore after they got rid of Turkoglu.
Yeah.
He was kind of a big part of the way they dominated Cleveland in the finals last year. So I think I like Boston or Cleveland. I'll give the nod to Cleveland because I like LeBron. And I think he kind of wants a championship in Cleveland before he heads out.
Yeah, before he takes off. Well, Cleveland is covering their ears right now. But yeah, I think I got to agree with the Lakers. A big thing is just going to be if these teams can stay healthy. Boston is banged up, and L.A. is hurting. Kobe is hurting, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a big thing. And there's also quite a few marquee names who could be on the trading block here. And almost every year there's at least a couple of huge trades in the NBA. It just seems to happen that way every year. So there could be one or two moves that could really swing.
I heard rumors of a Chris Bosh for Bynum trade, sending Bosh to L.A., which would be crazy, but...
Yeah, that would not... I'd like to investigate that then and see what else, you know, what
because he's a free agent this year, and the theory is that they want to get something for him.
Right.
So, I don't know.
That would make me cry, I think. Well, I shouldn't say cry because I won't cry over sports. But
yeah, no crying or rioting allowed.
It'll make me very angry, I should say. So.
Yeah. All right, anything else for NBA? Or are we good?
No, I think we'll pick up more of that after the All-Star break and once NFL's done because it's, like you said, it's hard to focus on NBA when it's NFL playoffs.
All right, so let's go through last week real quickly. We did not do good on our picks. We both had the same ones, and we went 1-3. The Jets kind of pounded Cincy pretty good. We both had picked Cincy. Nothing much to say there. Carson Palmer didn't play well. They really didn't play well at all except for Cedric Benson. And then Philadelphia at Dallas. Dallas came to play, and Philly really didn't again. Same thing with Cincy, kind of a dominating game. And then my Ravens, I'm a proud Raven fan today. They ousted New England. Game that that's the one we both had picked, strangely.
Yep. Yeah.
And then Green Bay fell to Arizona in overtime on the crazy play.
That whole game was pretty nuts.
That was unbelievable.
Final score of 45-51. That's a college basketball score in some games, you know. But yeah, it was fun to watch. I mean, really no defense involved whatsoever, but until the last play, obviously. But
yeah.
Did you see the face mask or non-face mask?
Yeah, I saw that, but I don't know.
In my opinion, and I like the Packers more so than the Cardinals. And I mean, I don't think it didn't cause the fumble. And I almost want to say it happened kind of after the fumble. So
Yeah, I applaud the official. If the official saw that, maybe they just didn't see it. Even if they did, I applaud them for not making that call. Because if it would have somehow brought, you know, if they would have given the ball back to Green Bay or something, that just would have been stupid.
Yeah, and if it would have been something big, like his face got, you know, really ripped or his neck got twisted around, that is why he fumbled. But that
was just it was just an accidental hand got up in there. There was no yank or, a drag him to the ground or anything. So I agree with the way that was handled. Whether or not the officials saw it, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. But yeah, kind of a lackluster weekend outside of that game, really.
Yeah, some blowouts.
A lot of the Ravens game could have been a lot worse. They settled a couple times for field goals when they had, not far to go, which they needed points. But, I mean, that game could have been even more blown out than it actually was. So,
let's see. Look at the lineup for this week. First game, we got Arizona at New Orleans. New Orleans has taken a few weeks off. So who do you like there?
I'm going to give the nod to New Orleans. I think both teams can obviously throw the ball, and Saints have been on a little bit of a, you know, slow, I can't say slow start, but they've been slow lately. But I think for some reason, I just don't see them coming out and laying an egg at home. And I think their defense is going to show up a little bit better than Green Bay's defense did. And I don't know if you want to be getting in a shootout with New Orleans the way they're playing. And I'm gonna go with them.
All right. So. I'm actually going to go with the upset, Arizona. Just the way they played in last week and the offense in the playoffs. And the last I looked up a stat, I lost it, but it was like the last four playoff games for Kurt Warner. It's absurd. Just the way they come into the playoffs, they're rolling. Mm-hmm. I like them to. It could be this game's going to be like 85-80.
Yeah, no, I agree, and they do have momentum going big time. I think playing in the dome, I don't know if that really hurts them. You know, I think they can use their speed and stuff, and it should be a good game. And I think, you know, if the New Orleans of the last 3 weeks of the regular season comes, obviously they're done for. But if they can come out firing and if their defense can play like they showed they were capable. So I think that should be an interesting game to watch.
Yep, definitely. All right, and then Saturday night, it's Baltimore at Indianapolis.
Well, I'm going to apologize beforehand, but I'm gonna end your Ravens season here. I know that there's a lot of controversy. Colts took weeks off, and that's not good. But I think it might hurt some of the Colt players, but one player it's not going to hurt is Manning. I don't know if Manning can get rusty. So, and I think they're going to come out, and I just think they're – I mean, Baltimore's playing tough right now, don't get me wrong, but I just think the Colts are going to be able to get by them.
So. All right. Well, I can't go against my team, so I'm going to go with the Ravens. Obviously a good game last week. And I just like their attitude right now. It seems like they mean business.
They definitely have some swagger. I'll give them that.
Yeah. And Colts are 0-3 since 99 after first-round buys. Obviously that could change at any time, but I don't know. I have a good feeling.
Yeah. Well, I will be rooting for the Ravens. I'm not a Colts fan. I would much rather see the Ravens, but I just think
I'm gonna say a big game for Flacco.
A big game for Flacco.
This is gonna be Flacco's. This is Flacco's coming out party.
He'll throw more than 10 passes this week.
More than 10 passes. That's the whole thing. People talk trash about Flacco for last week, but that was stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. They. I mean, why would you throw it when you're running so well, and when you establish a lead, you don't need to throw.
And there were two drops in that, and I don't know, this whole thing, Dan Marino was like talking smack. It made me mad. But the whole thing, like he threw the interception that was bad, but he made smart decisions. He had a big run on the third down, mm-hmm. and extended a drive.
Yeah, I don't know why people are so hard. I mean, a lot of people, he got a lot of praise last year and deservedly so, but now this year they're super critical of him. When if you look back at another quarterback people love, Ben Roethlisberger, there were a lot of those teams. He got to be a better passer later, but in his early years, I mean, he wasn't that much different as far as the game plan that they approached that Flacco has. So yeah, understand that. So
yeah, and I don't know why you would run like Ray Rice is running for 5 yards every single time. So I don't know why you would even pass once. So
yeah, that wouldn't make sense. I agree.
All right, and then Saturday we got Dallas, or I'm sorry, Sunday we got Dallas at Minnesota.
Yeah, big game, and would you say it's the most talked about game so far? Maybe that's just because where I'm from, but I usually look at, you know, ESPN and stuff, and a lot of Dallas Minnesota on the front page.
Probably because of Dallas. No offense.
Yeah, probably is, and then they keep making. As if they don't talk about Favre enough. No, and I like Favre, don't get me wrong, but I'll call it when I see it, and they talk about him too much. Now, of course, Romo, growing up in Wisconsin, idolized Favre, and they have similar styles, and now they're playing each other, and there's going to be a whole man love crush.
Oh, my gosh.
segue on whatever sport. If John Madden comes out of retirement for this game, I'll probably jump out of my second-story window in my apartment and just a weekend. But I'm going to go like you. I can't go against my home team. I'm going to take the Vikings. I do think they can win this game. I know that Dallas somehow has turned into the favorites, and they've played well as of late. But I think it's going to – luck's going to – I don't want to say luck, but things are going to go bad for Romo at some point. And if it's going to happen, a noisy environment on the road at the Dome could be where it happens. So.
All right, I'm going to agree with you. I like Minnesota. The defense, I think, has had a couple weeks to rest, which helps the defense, I think, and the offense. I think they'll be able to, especially if they can establish their run, the rust won't be an issue for them. And then Dallas has had a string of wins, obviously, but like you said, they gotta have some bad breaks at some point. So.
Yeah, and it wasn't that long before that that there was all this talk of Dallas floundering, not playing well, and now Roy Williams has one decent game, respectable game, and all of a sudden he's a legitimate threat. You know, if I'm betting on that, I'm gonna bet he doesn't have too many performances like that, more of his typical lackluster.
Yeah, exactly. But,
and actually, I one other thing, I wish I could have the stat in front of me, but there's a lot of talk on Dallas putting pressure on Favre and how much that'll do. But I looked, there's a stat, and in the games where he had the most pressure on him, took the most sacks and the most hits, he had some crazy statistic numbers. And typically that was because they were blitzing, so that's one less man in the secondary, and he's pretty good at finding a guy. So I don't know if they have to blitz a couple guys to get after him. I mean, it'll work sometimes, but that leaves holes too. So.
Yep, that's true. And they got a good receiving core there, young guys, athletic, so.
Yep, they do.
All right, and then the final game, New York Jets at San Diego.
I'm going to have to go the Chargers. I think the Jets, I didn't think they'd have a chance last week, and I will think that again, and maybe I'll be wrong, but I think San Diego is poised to do pretty well this postseason, and I don't think they're going to let the Jets stick around for too long in this one.
Yep, I'm going to agree with you. I actually really like Phillip Rivers. Last year in the playoffs, he had like a bum knee or something, and then he was just he still just plays his butt off, you know, just diving around, you know, getting hit, making plays. And I think the quarterback matchup favors the Chargers significantly.
Yeah, quite a bit. It'll be the end of the year for Sanchez, I'm afraid.
Yeah, because
so.
if San Diego's smart, they'll force him to pass, which the since he somehow couldn't do last week, I don't know. But if they put the game in his hands, you got to think he'll cough it up a couple times.
Yeah. Now, after this year, are we officially done calling him the Sanchez? Because that's is or is it gonna stick?
I don't know. I hate that name. So.
I do too. I guess if he does well, obviously it's going to, you know, maybe he'll have a really horrible game and then people will start to question, is he the franchise? And maybe then he'll lose the Sanchez because it's driving me nuts.
So. All right. Well, that does it for this week. One more quick thing I wanted to mention. The big end of the year awards came out this year. MVP Peyton Manning, Defensive Player of the Year, Charles Woodson, and Offensive Player of the Year, Chris Johnson. You got any beef with that, or does that seem pretty?
Seems pretty legit. It's hard to argue with. There are a lot of good quarterbacks, and I think you could have made a decent case for, you know, Breeze or Favre, and, you know, in some respects, Warner by the end of the year. But I think Peyton had, you know, not a lot of help on the receiving core and made those guys look real awesome. So,
yeah. I think it's fine. A lot of people talking about, you know, did Darrell Revis deserve it over Charles Woodson? You think that was a legitimate argument, or?
I think so. I guess for me, it's harder to judge the defensive players sometimes too, because there's just less stats to look at. But I think, you know, both are deserving. I saw more of Woodson play this year, and he played well. So not to take anything away from Revis, but.
Yeah, I just don't think. I think it's hard to. Who votes for that? I guess is it the AP or?
I think so. Yeah.
And anytime there's voting involved, like we talked about last week at the Baseball Hall of Fame. You never know what's going to happen. Those guys are stupid, but
yeah, I agree.
You can't really rely on those awards to be an accurate portrayal of who's actually better.
And no, you can't put a lot of I don't put a lot of stock in it like we covered last week. And to me, it's still weird how, you know, like a guy can win Offensive Player of the Year and not be MVP. You would think that if the MVP was an offensive player, he would also be the Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah,
but. Those don't go hand in hand, so.
Well, you never know. All right, well, you got anything else you want to mention?
No, I think that should cover it for this week. Just looking forward to the games this weekend.
Definitely. So. Thanks for listening, everyone. Hit us up on Twitter, @TheSportsGeeks. Let us know you're listening, or send us an email, thesportsgeeks@gmail.com. Go to the website, check it out. Pat wrote a new post about NBA All-Stars, who are a team of NBA guys that haven't been All-Stars, put together a whole roster. It's real good.
Yeah.
And
Thank you.
Thanks for listening again, and we'll see you guys next week.